This is the Hoffcast with your host, Nick Hoff, in case you weren't quite sure where the heck you were. This is episode 13. It's coming out late on Friday, June 8th. I think I should probably just make the release date Friday. I think the last three have been that. Gives me the week to lead up to it. Sorry about that, guys. First things first, I want to thank everybody who came out to see me in Wichita. Had some people who had seen me on some other Kansas shows in years past. And then a couple people came out that I've known my whole life. A couple people I graduated high school with, or at least went to high school with. One guy, Dustin Michael, I've known since I was six. So it was awesome to see you guys out there. Thanks for coming out to those shows. I had a good time in Wichita. I didn't get to spend a lot of time there because I was driving back and forth between Kansas and Nebraska, playing a little bit of golf with my dad in Hastings. And then on Monday, I went to the Get Her Done Golf Classic, which is the Cable Guy's annual like charity event where he has all these, you know, former athletes and celebrities come in and play. And I thought I was just going to hang out. I was just kind of like going just to kind of like, you know, joke around with some people and hang out on the whole thing. And then he texts me like a half hour before I get there. He goes, "Hey man, you're playing. So, I got you in a group when you get here. Let me know." And, they were fivesomes is what they were. It was a five man scramble. And, but I was kind of put in this kind of overspill group. I suppose, I don't know that I was the celebrity, but I was playing with his, with Cable Guy's father-in-law and then a local pro there in Lincoln, where Dan plays once in a while. So, that was good. We only had three, but we held our own. We got nine under. It was a good time. Lots of ex like baseball players, lots of ex Huskers, which was really cool. Some of those a lot of big dudes like, Chris Kelce and Travis Kelce. Those former Husker players are just immense. And I was like, oh my goodness, you guys. and one of them, I can't remember which one, the bigger one of the two, he's a brick house, but he couldn't hit the ball very far because he couldn't even, like, rotate. So it was kind of, you could see the frustration on his face because all those other guys were just pounding the ball in his group, and he just couldn't get, like, more than 200 yards on it, which is not much at all. And you could just tell, he's like, man, I'm a lot bigger than this. Like, what the hell's going on? I think it's just he couldn't get the rotation. Muscles in the way. Not a problem for me. Another cool thing about the tournament, Scott Frost was there. He didn't finish, so I beat him. But that's the Huskers' new head coach there, so it was pretty cool to see him. He's a bit of a local celebrity there now. And they had, on one of the holes, they had this long drive champion. I had to look his name up again. His name is Bobby Bradley. And he sat there and he goes, "Hey guys, welcome to the number, you know, whatever he was, number four tee box. I'm going to hit your tee shot for you. So you guys don't even have to hit. You can just go up and hit from where I am. And if you guys all donate, you know, whatever amount of money, then if you hole out, it's a par five. It's like a 500 yard par five." And he goes, "If you make it from my tee shot, then you get a free trip to, I think it was Pebble Beach or something." And our group was not the rich group. So we decided not to do that, but he still hit for us. And he goes, and so you guys don't even need to hit. Like, but even the best players in the world sometimes miss the fairway. But he's like, "No, you don't. Why are you taking out a club? You don't need to do anything." And then he went up and he hits the ball 370 yards dead straight. He hit the ball, took a walkie-talkie out of his pocket, and radioed to a gal in a golf cart that we couldn't even barely see up there. And he's like, "Yep, it's headed just left of the bunker there." And just right down the pipe, right in the fairway, 370 yards. So it was like 150 into the green or something from there. It was ridiculous. And then, but, and so me and the cable guy's father-in-law's like, well, that's it for me. He couldn't hit the ball very far. So he was happy taking that. But me and the other guy, we were like, well, we'll just tee off. Like, at the very least, we'll get some practice. And I kind of want to see how mine stacks up. And so we both decided we're just going to unleash. We're just going to bomb this thing. And I took a cut, and I hit the stank off of it, and I was still over 100 yards short of his. I probably hit it 260, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, my God, this guy just absolutely crushed the ball, and dead straight, too. The fact that he's like, no, you guys don't even need to, like, before he hit, that he was like, no, you guys, you won't even need to hit. Like, he knew he was going to tank it, and it was going to go right down the pipe. I was like, oh, man. How those guys aren't on tour is crazy. Like, they would be number one in driving distance easily on the tour, and that's such a huge advantage. The rest of their game must be absolute dog crap, because if you can hit it that far, then all you got to do is learn to hit, like, a 9-iron and a wedge and a putter. Like, if you can get those four clubs down, then I don't even know what we're doing here. It was pretty ridiculous, that guy. Bobby Brett, I mean, if you get a chance to see one of those guys hit or, like, go to the, one of those competitions, I highly recommend it, because he just, they murder the ball. They take a full swing at it, too. It's pretty crazy. And he was using these long tees, but then also had, like, an extender. So he was getting an extra inch on his tee, and you're like, oh, man. You know, it was pretty incredible to watch. So that was a lot of fun. And then I flew out right after to get back out to California. And on my flight, I had to connect in Dallas and then came out here. Brett Saberhagen, old major league pitcher from like the 80s and 90s. That was cool. Like, he was cool as hell, man. He was talking and talking about the other tournaments he's going to play in. And when we got to the plane in Dallas, he's like, oh, I'm going to get a pretzel over here. And we had just met, like, that day. Like, I didn't meet him at the tournament. I met him at the airport when we were taking off. And he's like, I'm going to get a pretzel over here from the Annie Ann stand. And so I went and got in line. He came over, boom, hands me a full pretzel. What a cool dude, man. And he just seemed like an athlete who's seen it all. He's done it all. It was really cool. And I'm excited. Like, he's going to be up in Tahoe, and I just found out I'm doing shows with a cable guy up there during their big annual celebrity pro-am. So I'm going to get up there and hang out with some of those guys. It'll be good to hang a little bit. Let's see, this week coming up, next weekend, the 15th and 16th, I've got shows at the Black Oak Casino in Tulum, California, which is like east of Sacramento. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. I've got that on Friday. Then on Saturday, I'm in San Diego at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. So if you guys are in the Southern California area, want to come check out a show, I'll be opening for Cable Guy over there. So come check that out. Other than that, at the end of this month, I'm in Des Moines, Iowa. So any of you Iowans over there want to come hang out, I'm at the Funny Bone there like the 28th through the 30th. So those will be some fun shows. Other than that, you know, just raising these kids out here. We've had a little bit of a run-in again with the wild neighbor over here. Oh, and my album, I just got the hard copies of it. So if you guys want to pick one of those up, if you haven't gotten it online or whatever with the digital downloads, I've got a few hard copies of this. I didn't get a lot of them. I only got a couple hundred. So if you guys want one of those, they're on my website, nickhoff.com, and I'll sign it for you. Yeah, I only have a few of them, but it's a good album. I like this one, Nick Hoff Baby Daddy, so check that out. DVD's for sale on there as well, but that's been out for a few years. I think that's it, you guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Now, I have on the podcast, I guess I should say, and I'll say it in the description, I'm going to have a very, very special guest. My wife, Sarah, is going to be joining me. We're going to have a little bit of a conversation. We're going to talk about our neighbor, and I hope you guys enjoy that. So this will be a little bit shorter, but we got some good ones coming up. And also, a few episodes ago, I had my buddy Robbie Slowick on the show, and then the very next week he did Conan. So I'm getting talent that is on the cusp. I'm getting these people that the industry just is just now starting to find out about. So, you know, check out Robbie's performance on Conan, Robbie Slowick. I believe he was episode 6 or something like that. There's not that many of them out there, but go back and listen to that conversation with Robbie and I, and then go watch his Conan thing. You can find that on YouTube. So, yeah, we got some other great guests coming up. A lot of guys scheduled to come in here to the studio. And I'm going to try and do this when the kids aren't around, so they're not coming in and annoying the hell out of us a little bit. Like, it's cute sometimes, and sometimes you're like, okay, get the hell out of here. So, going to work on that. But in the meantime, enjoy Sarah and I's conversation. Just welcome into our lives for a few minutes. Thanks, you guys.
I don't like this position.
I don't care what you like. I am the host. You are the guest. You can't come in to my studio and be demanding.
You're not even treating me like your guest.
Listen, woman.
You offered them a beverage. Where's mine?
What would you like to drink?
I don't know.
Would you like some water?
No.
Can I get you some milk? I don't think we have any milk.
Okay, you're turning into a radio show, Nick.
How about orange juice? Would you like orange juice? We have orange juice.
No.
Vodka?
No.
You lush? It's 11:30 at night.
I'm nursing.
That's tasty water. Bet you wish you had some.
Shut up. I don't want any of your stale water.
My guest on the podcast this week is the beautiful, the vivacious, the one and only Sarah Marie Hoff, my wife.
Aren't you going to play your music? Bam,
bam. I enter, bam, bam. I put that later. You don't like that music?
I hear our 2-year-old humming it.
Our 2-year-old loves that music. What? How's it go again? Is... I can't even do it.
That's it.
Oh, I hate you. Oh, why did I let you talk me into this? I don't have the strength. I don't have the strength.
That's what, 10 minutes of gold right there?
Yeah, you got 10 minutes. We're under 2 minutes. And I started before we were even ready.
Okay, ask me your questions.
I ask you your questions? I have nothing prepared.
Well,
I had
here
to put the kids to sleep tonight and last night.
I was going to do it.
Yeah, but you know if I go in there, then I'm useless afterwards.
That's why I was going to do it.
Somehow, I don't know how you go in there and then you can still be awake when you come out. I go in there, I fall asleep with
it's
them.
Because I'm praying for your dirty soul.
Do you pray in there with them?
Mm-hmm.
For me?
Everyone.
Well, it's not working. Then, I need you to pray harder for me.
And then you'll ask me, Mommy, who are you talking to?
No wonder these kids have nightmares. Mommy's in there gabbing to herself. I go in there, I fall asleep. Instantly. You had to come in and wake me up.
Yeah, I did, because I could tell they were sleeping. But I didn't want to ruin what you already had, you know, accomplished.
I go in there, I lay down with one of them, and I close my eyes because if I stay awake, they, like, sense it. They know my energy is still
spider
there.
Sense.
Yeah, they know I'm still there. And so they want to play, they want to jump on top of me. But if I fall asleep, if I play dead, then they realize that I'm no fun anymore, and they just go to sleep. But now I'm asleep.
They realize that jumping on you is now jumping on unconscious dad.
Yes. Yes, that's all that is. I don't know how to do it without falling asleep myself. Then you come in, you say, hey, Nick, wake up. And then I just come crawl into bed and I'm useless. As a comedian, I stay up late all the time. But if I start to fall asleep, I will sleep for hours.
You should be thinking of jokes in there.
I try, but I fall asleep. I fall asleep. If I don't know what it is. Shut up. I don't know what it is, but as soon as I fall asleep, I'm going to be gone for hours. I can't take like a 30-minute nap.
Yeah, it's true.
What's true? That I do that, or that you people do that?
Like the death of Nick's slumber when you well, take here's a the nap. Thing:
you go to take a nap, you lay down on top of the bed. I take a nap. That's I get under the covers.
That's your problem.
That is not my problem. That is my solution.
You don't go hibernating when it's springtime.
Is that true? I guess that's when they wake up.
Yeah, you go into full hibernation.
Well, that's what I'm getting serious about it.
You go ahead and eat yourself one of those big beef pies from...
Beef pie?
From Trader Joe's.
Where am I getting a beef pie?
stout beef pies.
Yeah, they're like something... I imagine I'm in London when I eat one.
Yeah, it's like comfort food.
It's an ale pie. It's a beef ale pie.
Right, and then you're all sluggish, and then you get into your covers, and you're gone until 6.
That's the best way to do it. I'll bet my listeners right now are saying, I'd like to have myself a beef pie and sleep till Tuesday.
Welcome to the dream.
This is the dream, sort of. But, I'm useless right now.
Yeah, where's the joke, Nick?
I think we're going to have to come back another time.
Then, can I get back to Gossip Girl?
What? How? Why did you start watching something that's like a decade old?
Because I saw it bad, like 6 or 7 years ago.
It's not like someone getting caught up on The Office.
Yeah, but there's like 6 or 7 seasons of crap, and they have like 25 episodes per season, and everything gets resolved in like 2 episodes.
Do you have any idea how many seasons I can make of just farting into the camera? That one guy looks like he's smelling a fart nonstop.
His name's Chuck Bass, honey.
Chuck Bass. Oh, I hate that you know that. He looks like he farted and he's not enjoying it.
I'm just trying to compensate.
Of course, everything
trying to counter the whole AMC, let's take forever to resolve one decision.
That's true. There is something to be said. That what shows have we watched on AMC? It's like The Walking Dead, Mad Men, and...
Breaking Bad. It's like that. Whole season.
They're good shows, but there are like episodes upon episodes where nothing happens.
Like, I find out about Rufus's love child in 2 days.
I can't believe you just said Rufus's love child out loud. Is that a real thing? Is there a Rufus?
There is a Rufus, and they did have a love child that they didn't know about.
I can't believe
it. It was like season 3.
Rufus had a love child. You are getting dumber watching that.
Honey, I can't read right now.
As stale as I am right now, after waking up, putting
our
kids to bed.
It's what I need.
Rufus's love child.
It's what I need to empty out my day of nothingness. I just need to fill it with more nothing.
More nothing?
Yes, because my brain is mush. It's like I'm an idol. It's like, you know when you turn the car key and it's like...
Just to auxiliary so you can get the radio?
No, well... Even that, but, you know, it's, like, not completely starting, and it's just, like, going... How do you do a car
ride? Do it again? that's how you will die.
I feel like that's what my job is, as a stay-at-home mom. It's, like, it never gets to fully stimulated.
It doesn't turn over.
It doesn't turn over to being fully stimulated.
Well, whose fault is that?
I can't listen to anything with these guys. They're constantly interrupting
me. How about listening to the child?
I am listening to the child.
It doesn't sound like it. You're just...
But when I get them started on an activity like Play-Doh, I think, maybe I can listen to a podcast while they're playing so nicely. The minute I start listening to something...
I've distracted them with Play-Doh.
It's
allow
less
mommy.
Than every minute. I get called mom. I timed it. It's every... It's
what are you
going
to listen to? You get them distracted. What are you going to listen to? Hofcast?
Yeah.
Thanks, supportive wife. Oh, you're so full of beans.
I love to hear your voice before I fall asleep, honey.
You gonna fall asleep while my kids are out?
No, while I'm getting them to bed. Sometimes I listen to a podcast while I'm getting them to bed. On the times I'm not praying.
My CDs came in today. Yesterday. My album. It's been out for a few months, but now the hard copies came in. It's called Nick Hoff Baby Daddy, Those of you who have ordered it, thank you very much. I've signed some of them, going to mail them out. There are a few more available. What do you think of it?
I like it, honey.
You like it because it's got you on the cover?
Yeah, finally.
You're on there. You're on the disc, too.
I am?
Your belly.
Oh, yeah. It's so flattering.
That's Neil in there. That's our second kid in Sarah's belly that I'm staring at on the cover of the disc. It's a good looking album. I like this.
I like it. I like it. I like it, Mikey.
I can't talk to you. We have nothing to talk about after 9 years of marriage. What the hell
do
we have to say
to
each other?
We're just not used to talking to each other.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are anymore.
I don't even know who I am anymore. I had to ask Facebook the other day, who am I? Well, they were like, what? You're weird. Why would you ask me that?
We need somebody to interrupt us so that this feels more comfortable.
We need to invite a third person to this podcast.
Yes, but have them be insane. You should invite our next door neighbor.
Oh, wonderful transition. They know about crazy neighbor. They know about her. I've talked about her before. She left us a note the other day. I'll read it. Oh, God. I don't think you should be a part of this, though. I want to try and keep you clean.
Me clean?
Yes.
What is this? What are you doing in here?
No. Our neighbor, I don't want her to be mad at you.
She already is. I wouldn't go to Trader Joe's with her.
Okay. So, our neighbor, who has been upset with the boys' noise, wrote us a love letter the other day and left it on our gate. Dated June 6, 2018, Nick and Sarah, I refer you back to our correspondence in February 2018, where she wrote us a letter that she told us to get carpet because she was sick of our boys running.
And they're not even running. It's just a bumbling 2-year-old's walk, really.
Yeah. We wrote her back saying we're going to get pads under our carpet. Or not under our carpet, under our rugs.
We did that.
And we try and keep our kids from running, but here it is. Here's her letter. It is now obvious that by your inaction, you had no intention of keeping the peace, as you promised, by putting down area rugs and padding to soften Neil's hard running back and forth that reverberates through our adjoining wall. And then in parentheses, from the front door to the rear windows. Period. Neil's stomping back and forth continues 4 to 5 times daily, including evenings, and is intolerable and unfair. When in the carport under our respective parked cars, it sounds as though he is going to come through the floor onto or between cars. This is our 23-pound 2-year-old is going to just come careening through the wood floors and the subfloors and the foundation, just cracking down, landing between the cars. This is her concern. Here's continued. Not only do my framed wall pictures become askew, but I literally begin shaking, momentarily become confused and disoriented, my concentration lost, and so is the project I was working on that others were depending on me to complete. This is a retired 70-some-year-old woman.
Right.
Others are depending on her to complete.
And also it's our 2-year-old disorienting
her. Right. She's losing her mind. I am a senior citizen, had recent surgery, and these disturbances are unnecessary and can easily be fixed.
Wait, recent is August, by the way.
Recent is August. That's 7-8 months ago, but very recent. She is the victim. I fear this is not a healthy environment for me, who is subject to the daily stomping/pounding on the other side of the shared wall, or for Neil. Feels like a threat.
Feels like a threat to me.
Not a healthy environment for me. Neil's behavior and your lack of resolve are troubling to me both as an educator and as a therapist. I don't know her to be an educator or a therapist.
Last I heard, she went to dance school in New York.
Well, you know, that's, you get your best education there. It is my opinion that Neil is acting out and has been since your move in almost 1 year ago. I tried to resolve the matter with you. I spoke with you, exchanged texts, and wrote. We tried to talk to her about this. She wouldn't.
She wouldn't come over.
She wouldn't come over, and we invited her over for dinner to have a conversation, and she wouldn't come. She would just text. What would she text? Just exclamation points.
An exclamation point.
Whenever,
or a question mark.
Whenever he'd run.
Yeah.
In the house, she just.
I didn't know what she meant. I thought maybe she accidentally butt texted me.
Neil is trying to tell you that he is cooped up in a small unit where 5 of you reside in a 1-bedroom unit, and that he desperately needs to be outside where he is free to run, or in a daycare program with more freedoms afforded than his limited home space. This is the reason he runs back and forth. He is running for his life and his health.
She said life?
For his life. Your having no influence on your child's behavior only supports and encourages his abusive and unacceptable behavior. Yeah, we have no influence on him.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried to reason with a 2-year-old? Do they listen?
No.
Even if they listen at the time, do you think 30 seconds later he's still taking into account that you've asked him not to run? No. The fact that he only does it 4 or 5 times a day, I think, is a miracle.
Right.
But it's abusive behavior that this 2-year-old is displaying. I feel abused.
Yeah, me too. He hit me the other day and said, by the power of Grayskull.
Right back at you, Fern. We're being abused over here on this side. I love rock and roll, and the hint to you is to take care of Neil's needs, and when you do, the rock and roll will subside. This is, by the way, we've talked about this on the podcast. This is her, she plays I Love Rock and Roll, and anything I think that, if you Googled rock music, that would come up.
Yeah.
But it's pathetic. We can barely hear it.
Yeah.
I want her to turn it up, if anything.
And I always hear her songs, and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that song. I should listen to that song again.
Yeah, but we can, it's barely audible. So she thinks she's really getting to us. I promise it will subside. And I feel that Indiana, our 4-year-old, is not good with the situation either. And I truly feel sorry for him. So we have many victims here. And at your mercy. Wait, there's more. That's not me saying that. That's her saying that. That's the start of the new paragraph. Wait, there's more. Please refrain from stalking my car. Apparently we are stalking inanimate objects. Please know that sometimes my car is parked here and I am not home. Please also know that sometimes my car is not parked here and I am at home. So please cease and desist from stalking my car and having your children stalk my car. Our kids are stalking.
We're sending our kids.
Hey, go check and make sure. See if her car's down there. You know, her... Geo Metro, what is it?
I don't know, it's a Jeep. But
check it out, make sure it's still there. We want to make sure the car's okay.
Brian Regan there.
Please also cease and desist from banging on my screen door. Something we don't do.
Yeah.
She's hearing things. Please also have visiting family members refrain from waving to me when I look out my window in attempts to provoke / confront me. But certainly do not keep any morsel of peace. So apparently a morsel of peace and waving is going to do away with that. Don't wave at me. If I look out my window at you, don't need to make eye contact, all right?
Turn around.
I'm not gonna deal with that. Man, she starts every sentence with please. Please also have visiting family members refrain from walking over and standing at my parking space while I'm about to back out. A child may imitate an adult and place himself in harm's way. Again, feels like a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like a direct threat to my child, because she's saying a child may imitate an adult and place himself in harm's way. Not just a child, but him, one of our 2 boys.
I didn't read into that one, honey.
Unfortunately, so we have come to fighting fire with fire. I do not turn the other cheek, but meet the situation realistically. Sounds realistic to me. Tit for tat, you might call it. I hope my words will reach your hearts, because only you can resolve the issue with your responsible actions and influence. Thank you, regards. And then she signs it with, she has 4 different, 4 different little titles that she gives herself. BS,
M-A-D-T-L-A.
What is DT?
Dumb twat. Do you think she's calling herself a dumb twat? So she's a bachelor's of science, a master's of arts, dumb twat, and lazy asshole. What's the L.A.?
I thought it was legal assistant.
Legal assistant.
I know she was a legal assistant.
There you go.
I don't know what DT is.
Dental technician? I don't know what she... Who gives themselves... No, doctors don't give themselves multiple
BS.
Titles.
What would you... P.S., P.A.,
What's P.S.?
Production secretary.
Production secretary? Yeah.
I was a production secretary for 2 months, honey.
I don't know what is going through her mind, and she thinks that that will, like, all of a sudden make us think, oh, wait a second, this is coming from four different specializations. Better listen to her. Dude, she's lost her mind.
She's 70. I feel bad for her.
I don't
I
anymore.
Also feel bad for my children.
I feel worse for my children. Listen, I've felt bad for her. We've tried reaching out to her. She yeah. won't handle it. Waving gets to
yeah,
her.
Yeah, you never know when what's going to trigger her.
Okay, but that's not what I wanted to... That's not why I had you on the podcast. Okay? I didn't want to talk about that old dirty twang for hours. We had a baby. A month ago.
You twitched when you said that.
What do you mean I twitched?
Your eye was twitching.
So what? That's the beauty of radio. I can be just a Remo over here looking like a sack of turds and it doesn't matter. We had a baby.
Yep.
It's been a month.
Miss May.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better.
Okay, this one was different. I told everybody that it was an emergency C-section. But talk everybody through that, because you're the one that went through it. I was just on the sideline there. But what? Okay, so we go in, and you're excited, and you're on your third baby, so you're like, I got this.
Yeah, I was gonna push this baby out in a minute.
You know, like fart, and it's just gonna come careening out.
I was hoping that would happen. You hear those stories? I was got out of the bathroom, and the baby was hanging out.
Exactly. So you're all cocky about it. We go check in, and instantly she's checking you, and she's like, what the heck is that? She's feeling her face, which yeah. is not good. It's not...
She's picking her nose, basically.
It's not to be confused with sunny side up, where they just, like, are reversed, but it's like a face thing where their neck is bent back over.
Yeah, the crown isn't... It's not going to be the crown that comes out.
So they tell us
it's
we
like
have...
like peekaboo. Open
right.
the curtains.
It's a heinous... Oh, God. The curtains.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Not that I have curtains.
Oh, jeez. This thing's gone off the rails. So they come in, they say, okay, so you're going to have a C-section. And now, what's going through your head?
Oh, I don't want one. I didn't want to be cut open and... my guts to spill out.
That's what you thought.
I thought that. Yeah.
You looked at me. You were like, "Are they gonna take out my
innards?" I pulling my intestines, like.
Like what? Nobody can see this.
I know.
Okay, it doesn't matter if people are twitching. She's over here yanking
Ed
rope out of the water.
Yeah, like pulling rope out of my gut.
So you thought that they were going to take everything out. Move the baby aside and then put everything back in.
Like, yeah.
And hopefully it goes back in the way you had it.
Yeah. Hopefully puzzle piece it back in.
Right. You start taking something apart and then you're like, I don't know how to get this thing back together. where was this? That doesn't fit in the box anymore.
We'll just leave it out.
Just get a Ziploc bag. We'll put it in there. Should be fine. Yeah, but it wasn't like scary fast. That would have been more scary to me. If they're like, we got to get her in there right now.
Right.
And then, like, rushing you. That would have been scary to me. But we did have, like, a half hour or whatever to look things up online. I was texting.
I wasn't looking stuff up.
You weren't. Thank God you weren't looking.
Yeah.
Because that face presentation thing, if you guys Google face presentation, don't do it. Don't do it. Because you're going to see some
pregnant.
Jacked up things. Like, babies get messed up coming out that way. But, like, and I'm texting people we know
mm-hmm.
that are into this kind of thing. Like, one of our friends is a doula, and I was texting with her, like, what's this all about? But we had, like, maybe an hour before we actually went in there.
Yeah, we were just sitting there, and I was just sweating.
Yeah, you had to go in alone. They put me in scrubs.
Yeah, it was cold.
But and then they wouldn't even let me in there when they were prepping you, which right. I think is weird. I can be in there when they're cutting you in half, but I can't be in there for the prep.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe because it's like really sterile and you're dirty.
Well, they're right about that. But I don't see what the big deal was.
Going on day two, no shower.
Well, you know, it doesn't. I don't know what day it was, but yeah, they wouldn't let me in there, so I'm just out there kind of twiddling my thumbs, and assuming that you're probably terrified.
Well, they're giving me the drugs at that point.
Right. So. And putting up the little curtain. They put, like, basically they cut you in half with a curtain so that you can't see anything, and, like, we're not looking at them ripping the cordage out of you.
Right.
And then... then I get called in, and then basically they start cutting right away, like almost instantly when I get in there.
Yeah, I guess. I just felt the pressure, but they said like 3 minutes they'd be in, but it felt like 10.
Yeah. I was probably in there for 10 minutes before the baby came out.
I felt like they took a long time to get her out. They said 3 minutes of cutting and 4 minutes they'd have her out.
Right, right. And I kept looking back at the anesthesiologist, like, what's going on? Because he could see over. And he kept just saying, no, everything's fine, everything's fine. I was like, all right, dude.
Yeah.
You're my eyesight here.
And I felt like somebody was sitting on my chest, but I didn't want to tell you. Because if I told you, I thought you would start saying, she's having a heart attack.
She's dying! She's do something! I'm not raising kids on my own!
I kept that to myself in my head. I thought, I might be dying, but I'll let Nick think I'm alive.
Oh, good. Now I know I can't even trust you with that.
Well, they had all those stickers on me. They knew my heart rate.
I was surprised when the baby came out. Well, when they were about to pull it out and the guy was like, stand up, take pictures.
Yeah.
I was surprised they wanted me. I thought I was not allowed to look over the little curtain.
I know. A lot of people said they didn't look or they weren't allowed to.
But
look.
I did, and I took some pictures, and it was kind of like a blurry, like, I wasn't trying to get a good look
at your innards. Yeah, but the pictures are pretty. Looks like a fake mannequin laying there on the bed with their guts.
Yeah, it's like Operation. It looks like they're
doing... Real.
Yeah, and then the baby's just covered in goop and blood just there with the umbilical cord. It's a wild thing that's happening down there.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And they said they had to dislodge your head from, like, your hip bones.
Yeah, I felt
she was,
a lot
like,
of pressure.
Stuck. Ugh, I'm
Modern
glad.
Medicine.
Dude. Mad three
science.
And done. Three and
Who
done.
Who thinks of that stuff?
I don't know. Morgan Freeman and Robin Hood?
Oh, yeah, he does.
Prince
do
of Thieves. He's the one that does the C-section.
Rather him than Ace Ventura and Call of Nature.
When he reaches down the throat and gets the apple. Oh, no, he just pushes on the stomach and it comes out.
He's like.
That's what you thought the third pregnancy was going to be. They were basically just going to push on your stomach. Baby's going to go shooting out and somebody over to some natives like...
Nick.
Oh, God. Deep cut. Ace Ventura 2. That's what we're referencing, really?
Yeah, I even got the...
Oh, welcome to the podcast.
Call of Nature. Isn't that what the thing is?
When Nature Calls.
Oh, when Nature Calls.
You can watch that again. You said Call of Nature.
Yeah.
But third... We're done, right? Three babies and done?
Yeah, we're done. Unless...
Okay, that's all I needed. I just needed a, it's a verbal contract now.
We're done, but we're officially done at 40, I think.
At 40
because
years old?
Because, here's the thing, you're a procrastinator.
Oh,
you're
God.
Not going to get a vasectomy right away. I know it.
Well, yeah, who's rushing in there to get their nuts cut?
You, because you don't want to have a, well,
no.
You should be.
Well,
four kids,
if you,
vasectomy,
if you start,
let's weigh these odds.
If you start looking at me like you're not sickened by everything that I
all
represent.
All it takes is a year.
Ugh.
And everything is forgotten. It's a chemical thing. There's
right.
Something that purposefully makes a woman forget so that we populate the earth.
Oh, yeah. We need a lot of people. This place is
well,
hurting. This place is hard up for people.
Look at our neighbor. She didn't have any kids. We have to have two more for her.
We did. No. No,
oh,
you just
we
have
one
to replace yourself.
Her.
We already replaced her.
Hannah says she doesn't want kids. Gotta replace her, too.
Well, your mom had six, so I don't think we need to
go down that generation. Oh, millennials are said to not have kids. They're said to have had pets.
I don't want to have any more kids. I love these kids.
I just want her to have a sister. If I could have a perfect world, it would be...
She can just have
four-bedroom house.
I was an only boy.
And actually, three bedrooms. Her with a sister.
I was an only boy. I turned out fine. Look at me.
Yeah, look at you. You're in Los Angeles.
Roses. I'm the man. not a good argument. What I did like about it, though, they took the baby out of you, stitched you up, and then we had to stay in recovery for like 2 hours. They're just like, you just have to sit here for 2 hours.
Right.
Which wasn't a big
deal.
That was
cozy.
It was nice.
And I liked her nurse.
And the lady was there the whole time. Yeah, the gal from Louisiana. And the guy would come in and, like, check her. I think he was the same guy that was there for either Indiana or Neil, too.
Oh, really?
I recognized that guy.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. The x-ray guy.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. I think he was the same guy. He's just laid back.
Did you think you were a doctor?
No, but here's what happened is I didn't change then. I left the scrubs on because I'm still in the, like, surgery area. And then we walk up to go to recovery, and everybody thought I was a doctor.
Nick thought he was George Clooney.
I had no idea that was going to be the perception. I figured this is how people dress now. Like, you went through the surgery, now you just wear this gown or whatever. Uh-huh. And now I'm walking around, and they're like, Doctor, what are you doing up here? And I was like, huh? But I kind of...
you going to be Dr. McDreamy, Steamy, or Clooney?
I only know the Clooney reference, and the other two are stupid.
Dr. McDreamy?
What's that?
That's Grey's Anatomy.
No,
that's
I never watched
Patrick
that.
Patrick Dempsey.
I never watched that. I never really watched ER either, but I like the guy that did the little fist pump thing in the theme song. That's, what's his name? Roger from Coming to America?
Soul Glow guy.
What's his name in that? Is it Roger?
Daryl.
Daryl. How do I forget Daryl? Daryl does the little fist bump.
Yeah, it is Daryl.
Like the fist pump. When he goes down on one knee, he's like, yeah, let yourself glow. but they're like, oh, doctor, what are you doing here? And I forget that, like, they probably don't know every doctor, but I'm dressed like a doctor now.
Yeah.
And then when the one gal, when we're in our recovery room, like, we'd only been in there for 15 minutes, like, no time to change. We were just getting in there, and there were nurses in there, and she was checking the baby. And then I said something that made it clear that I was the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, for a second there, I thought you were the doctor watching me check the baby. I was all nervous. I kind of like that. But then I realized, okay, I got to get out of this outfit. But for
like
a moment, I was
kind
of like, you know what? Let me go around and I'll check some charts.
Were you thinking of your joke?
What's my joke?
Your one where you'd back crack. The doctor's in the
office. No, because that's ridiculous. But at this moment, I could have literally done something. I could have helped someone. You know what it felt like? It felt like I was Leonardo.
Catch me if you can.
No. You know what it felt like? A little bit like Catch Me If You Can, where he's pretending to be a doctor and he's like going from room to room. But I more felt like Harrison Ford in The Fugitive when he's when he sees the kid who's got
a
lung problem and he saves the kid's life. He was a doctor, but that's the way I felt. I felt I could help people.
Nick, you don't know how to look at an
X-ray. I check some charts.
You don't know how to look at
an
X-ray.
You know, I'll mark some things. I'll ask people how they're doing. Nobody ever gets asked how they're doing. I don't need your pain scale. I assess people for a living.
You can read my machines by the end of...
That's exactly what I do, yeah. Because they have your little heart rate monitor and all that. I remember that for the first kid. Is they would like have to come in every once in a while and like adjust the things on your belly, the sensors, and by the end of it I've got that down.
Uh-huh.
I'm changing the paper, I'm turning off alarms.
Yeah, Nick would always change the paper and
by the end of it I was like, I can do this. This is not a big deal. Rather than let those nurses out there hear an alarm, oh, we have no heart rate. Oh, well, the sensor probably just slipped off. So I see them doing Rochambeau to see who has to come help
you. They don't
want to
come. They're sitting, looking at their Facebook.
So now, it's been a month. Mm-hmm. You get the girl home. She's gaining weight.
That's good.
You wanted a girl. Like
I did. But actually, Indy's picking up art like no other. I just thought they weren't going to be into art because...
You thought boys could not be artistic?
No, they just didn't... our boys, didn't seem like into it.
Now he's really good.
Now he's really into it all of a sudden.
So
like
now
he never
the girl's
wanted
useless.
To do art projects with me. I'd try to do something with him, and all of a sudden, the paintbrush would be a sword, not a paintbrush. And it's like, all right.
Well, good. Well, we'll see what maybe she'll be our athlete.
Yeah, the boys all are artistic. Well, Neil was in the aisle looking at all the Moana dolls.
I never thought of art as like a gender thing.
No, I never did either, especially art.
Certain types of art.
Like what?
Pottery.
No.
Is a woman thing.
Actually, you have to be really strong to
do
some big
pots. I'm not here saying women can't be strong. But when I think of pottery, I think of a woman doing it. I don't think of a man doing it.
All of my ceramic teachers were men in college.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they would have to really muscle that clay.
I'm trying to think if I associate a gender with painting.
It's like 25 pounds of clay to make one plate.
Sculpture, I see as a man doing that. But I have no respect for sculpture. I think sculpture is stupid. Whenever I'm at a museum and I see the sculpture section, I'm just like blazing past it. I don't give a damn.
I think it looks cool.
I don't really care.
Yeah, because you don't know all the different rules for sculpture that you can follow or you don't have to follow.
Well, who cares? Like, it's so stupid.
Right, but they're just...
Like, even if it took a great amount of skill to do that, I don't care. It's like someone who can, like, yo-yo and juggle at the same time. Like, I'm sure that's difficult, but I don't give a damn.
But if you saw a sculpture that you liked, you wouldn't know why you liked it, but the sculpturist would know why you liked it.
You think
That's why they would...
What kind of sculpture would I see that I like?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen one you liked yet.
Maybe not, and I've been to the best museums in the world.
You don't like the... What's one? Even just, like, things that are outside are sculptural. Buildings.
What? Might want to speak up a little bit.
Buildings are sculptural.
Buildings are sculptural. You might want to speak up. Buildings!
Just waiting for a kid to come out.
Buildings.
You keep looking behind me.
Buildings
like
are
kind of
cool, but that's
around.
Not sculpture.
Yeah, sure it is.
That is not sculpture.
Architect is sculptural.
Architecture? No, it
yeah.
isn't. That's architecture. That's a different thing.
Yeah, but
and that's
still,
done by a man.
There's still balance and rhythm and color theory that they use. Like,
do you have any gender bias in art?
I don't think
so. Do you picture some like a certain gender doing?
I think women have a hard time making it. There's a glass ceiling for women in the art world. Like, think of how many
is a glass ceiling a sculpture?
Yeah, I bet.
Beautiful.
I don't. No, shut up.
That's something I like. Okay. Keep you guys down.
I mean, you think of all the painters. How many female painters do you know?
I can't think of any.
Yeah, see?
Do you know any?
Mary Cassatt?
Wait, who's the girl that painted all the vagina flowers?
Oh, yeah. Georgia O'Keeffe.
Georgia O'Keeffe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew her.
There's more now, but it was hard for women to become great masters in painting.
Well, that's, yeah. Yeah, but that's like at a time when, I don't know, I feel like the master painters, mm-hmm. who's, what, Leonardo?
Yeah.
Who else?
Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, but that's like Renaissance.
Michelangelo, but that's who we know.
Yeah, master.
We don't know anybody else.
Sure. I mean,
right?
We know, wait, do I know or you know?
The normal people.
Or the world.
Normal people.
Pablo Picasso?
Picasso? That's not Renaissance?
Oh, no, that's...
No? When was he?
I have no idea,
30s? This century? Last century?
Yeah, probably.
Or 1800s? 1700s? 16?
15? I don't know.
Stop
I'm not going to say right the
See,
right
now
thing.
You,
I want to say
no.
40s or 30s.
You know what? He was in that... Oh, God. We are dum-dums. Pablo Picasso... He was died in 73. So yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah, you're probably right because he was born in 81. So 1881. So he was probably 30s, 40s in his heyday. Okay, Picasso, people know that. Salvador Dali, Van Gogh.
Mm-hmm.
Van Gogh's a little more recent. Matisse. And who's the guy that we saw the lily pads when we were in France?
Claude Monet.
When was he?
Gosh, he was Impressionism. I want to say he's like 18-something.
Monet?
Yeah.
You might be right. It's but impressionism. I feel like he was a, I think he was.
And then Pablo Picasso was abstract, which was after Impressionism.
Monet. What about Jackson Pollock? Monet died in 26. He's yeah, he was like, 1800s.
Oh gosh, what do they call Pollock? He's abstract, but he's like a certain kind of abstract.
Abstract expressionist. There movement. You go.
I was thinking emotion, but I.
Was and he was all 1900s. He died at age 44.
Yeah, he was a big smoker, I think.
It's funny you said Sorry, that because guys. This Wikipedia picture of him is him squinting with a cigarette lit. So there he is. Okay.
Hey, I do know what I'm talking about.
You've got some information in there. I don't know. Yeah, I. Painting, I don't really have a gender bias, though, but I guess we do most of the people that are in our lexicon. Is that the word I want to use?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
mommy brain right now.
But women, I don't know. For some reason, I feel like...
they weren't taken as serious.
Pottery is women.
Why do you think of that? Because of That's dishes? Just...
I don't know. That's probably part of it.
Yeah.
Probably part of it. Probably my little stupid monkey brain.
Dishes and vases.
Goes that way. It's like, yeah. Oh, well, she's got the dishes. You know, cut out the middleman.
She
can make it, then wash it. Yeah. And then put the food in it.
I know a lot of men that are... But well, they see, do, like, huge things. Like
the only one I knew was vases and Patrick Swayze, and he was dead at the time.
Demi Moore was the one. He was just the
I know
one.
Demi Moore. She's the woman.
Okay.
But I so, thought you see, said that's Patrick a woman. Swayze well, was Swayze the... was there. That's the only yeah. man that I associate with pottery.
He was there for something else.
And he was
else.
Gone. He was there for something else. He's like, let me get on behind this. It's got a little wobble to that pot. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
All right, so... All right, well, yeah, I wanted to have you on to talk about the birth, and now you're feeling... It's been 5 weeks. You're still not 100%.
No, I'm not. I'm still sore. It sucks. Thought so I'd be better.
All you ladies out there, you know, C-section's no picnic. Not that you would think it would
I
be.
I mean, I'm pretty good. Nick was injured from a basketball injury about the same week as my C-section. He's still hard time with his rib.
They know about my rib.
Okay, yeah, he's still having a hard time with that rib. But me, on the other hand,
it's a very serious injury.
Has healed almost fully from a C-section because I have...
Well, you had doctors working on
you. I'm a good healer.
I'm just myself.
I'm like Wolverine.
I'm like me and WebMD. And and I'm making a miraculous comeback, you know? My basketball team's in the playoffs, and we're probably going to win on Monday. So, you know, coming at you. All right. Well, I'm glad that we had the time to make this work, and I'm glad the kids stayed asleep, and we could do this.
Yeah, ask me more questions.
People like you on the podcast. Well, we'll see. They haven't heard this much of you. Maybe after this, they'll be like, you know what? We're cool with her. Go ahead and bring other people in. But I think people enjoy it.
I need more. Never mind.
Oh, thanks for... I was winding... I was trying to put a button on this thing, and then you interrupt me with that gem.
I'm having fun talking. Hey, we're talking. You're talking to me.
All right, well, we're not talking
anymore.
We're
having a conversation.
Oh, God, it's just for show, okay? Don't get used to this.